Morning.
Morning.
Keep all our congregation in our prayers today. I know many are sick and traveling and all sorts of things going on right now. Our youth will be gracing us with a song today, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. So we'll listen to that first off. But throughout the service, during the hymns, I know the kids made maracas today in celebration of the return from exile, remembering that the people of old, returning from exile to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple and the walls and all those things. So if you have your maracas during the hymns that we sing, you're welcome to shake them. I might regret saying that, but right now, you can shake them during the hymns, just not this first one. We'll let the choir grace us with their song. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy,
and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. For you, Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O God, heavenly King, God, Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, our most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities, and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Leprosy, again, is a skin disease that covers your whole body. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry, and he went away, saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of Yahweh, his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So Naaman went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This will be our verse for the week.
Hallelujah. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Hallelujah.
1 Chronicles 16:29.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. St. Paul writes, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. When he came to Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. To the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, in the life of the world to come. Amen.
You can see it for our sermon hymn 708, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. I find this hymn to be a song of the Latin rhythm. If anyone knows who sing this.
Appointed text for Epiphany 3 come up at just the right time every year. Here we are in the height of cold season, when many folks slip and fall on the ice and the whole world seems to languish with sickness and countless afflictions. There are many in our own congregation right now who are like the lepers of our text, begging for Jesus' healing touch. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It's an honest prayer, a great prayer. Why is it great? Because it's a prayer filled with faith, with the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You see, when we pray for healing, we pray in the confidence that God truly can make us well. That he desires to do it, and that for Christ's sake, he will heal us. Jesus said to the leper, I will be clean. I've been raising my voice because my batteries went out. Give me one second here. Somewhat self-inflicted humility. I didn't charge them beforehand, so there you go. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'll back up just a sense here. Why is a prayer for healing great? Because it's a prayer filled with faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You see, when we pray for healing, we pray in the confidence that God truly can make us well, that he desires to do it, and that for Christ's sake, he will heal us. Jesus said to the leper, I will be clean. One second here. I have to raise my voice. I got thicker. I'm not sick, as far as I'm aware. In suffering, Christians cling to God's word. Lamentations chapter 3. Even though God does bring grief, he will show compassion on the basis of his great mercy. Certainly, it is not what his heart desires when he causes affliction, when he brings grief to the children of men. But then why does he make you suffer? At times, he afflicts you in order to humble you, because you're too stubborn and stuck in your ways. He knows how to bring stiff-necked sinners low, so that in Christ he may exalt you in true faith. And this is good, for through it you obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In short, he humbles you so that he can exalt you. So why else then does he afflict us? Well, at other times he afflicts you so that the glory of God may be revealed in you. As a suffering Christian, you are a witness to him who took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Bodily, you languish, but in Christ, in heart, mind, and soul, you rejoice. Your mouth may clench through the pain, but you do not curse God, but rather bless his holy name. Your trembling hands we don't see, but instead we see them folded in prayer. And with head held high, you cry out to the Lord of all, "Father, have mercy." So it is that in your suffering, O Christian, the light of faith, the light of Christ, is found in you. Have you ever wondered how many people become Christians by witnessing such other Christians suffering in true faith? How many people in the hospitals are going through treatments and things, praying to God, right? Receiving the Lord's Supper. How many people are brought to faith by witnessing such a thing as that? God knows. But because it does happen truly for their sake, every ache, every pain, every anguished cry is worth it. By God, you not only know the purpose of your suffering, but also that he will restore you. He does not will to afflict you forever. No, in the end, God will make you healthy. And I don't just mean he'll bring you back to the vitality of your youth when you were 17 playing football or volleyball or running cross country. No, he's going to make you better than that. He's going to glorify you. He's going to give you a glorified body like his very own resurrected body. Philippians chapter 3. By God's grace and mercy, he places your suffering right now into its proper place. Our suffering is temporary. It's being used for good. It will not last. Although it appears great at times, it is not worth comparing to that glory that awaits you. Romans chapter 8. Meanwhile, as you eagerly look forward to the coming of our Lord and that redemption of our bodies, behold how he comes to you today, like he did for that leper of our text. So does he do for you now. Week after week, he speaks his word in this assembly and comes to touch you with his own flesh and blood to purify you and make you clean. So shall you stand before him in the final judgment and receive everything he's promised you. But our gospel doesn't stop there today. Right after he cleansed the leper, we are introduced to a centurion. A centurion caregiver. This caregiver is very much like our caregivers today. Certainly Jesus can heal us immediately just by speaking a word, "Be clean." But more often than not, Jesus helps us through means, through the agency of others. He sends caregivers in his stead to tend to our ailments and cure our diseases. And just like this centurion, many of our caregivers come to Jesus praying, "Jesus, you are the great physician of body and soul. Help me. Help this sick person I'm caring for. They are ailing and they need you. I need you. What they are suffering is beyond my capability. I need you. I need your guiding hand. And even if I am capable of taking care of them, Lord, I still come to you because they are yours, and all that I have is yours. You have given your body to save their body. You've laid down your life to give them life. You have poured out your spirit and the water and the blood so that they may know you, the one true God, and abide in your love forever. Help them, Lord. Help me. Help them. You know, one thing I love about this centurion is that oftentimes we pray for the sick and the needy, but look at this guy in our text. We should be praying for our caregivers too. We should pray for our doctors and our nurses, for husbands and wives as they care for each other, for family members and friends and neighbors. We should pray for all these caregivers who go through tough times themselves, struggling to find the right aid at the proper time, fighting their way through all the legal and societal red tape, sleepless nights, endless shifts, and exhaustion, feelings of helplessness and inadequacy, frustration and stress, and an overwhelming workload that never seems to let up. So what I love about this centurion is that through him, God places all caregivers in the front and center of our minds every single year. We ought always to pray for them too. And not only pray, but understand what they're going through and encourage them with a word from our own mouths. As they strive to care for others, it takes a toll on them and it can affect their home life too, right? They have other family members to care for and obligations at home. They've got to balance that work life with what they're doing with their other vocations, with their own health and their own well-being. And it gets pretty overwhelming. So we pray for sick people, yes. But let us also remember to pray for those who care for them and for those taking care of those caregivers. They all need us. And on that note, let's just take a step back. Let's behold the magnificence of how God is at work in his body, working through every single member, no matter how old, to embrace and serve and build up the whole body in love. When just one member suffers, we all suffer together. We bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6. So it is that as you continue to come in and go out to take care of your family, your patients, your neighbors, God goes with you and continues to draw you back here to this place, to this people who surround you and lift you up in song, who join you in praying for those you're caring for, who pray for you and for the whole household of God. This is a good place to be. I don't know how you can live a life apart from the church and call yourself a Christian. We belong together. You need to be here and we need you too, right? Tell them that. You know who I'm talking about, for they are many. You know, in just a few minutes, we will come up together to this rail as one man to commune together. And not just with God, but to commune together as a whole body. Communion is not just between you and God. Absolutely not. False teaching. False. Communion is between God and us and all of us together. There's a horizontal relationship that goes on here. That's what the one cup confesses. That's why I never removed it during COVID. It confesses that we are all partakers of the one life of God. The one body of Christ coming together, united as one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. Praise the Lord. We are one. Now it's one thing for me to say, pray for your caregivers, right? Pray for our caregivers. but it's quite another to actually give you the words to say. Therefore, I've included three different prayers for you on the back of your bulletins. You can turn to them now. I'm not going to read through them, but I just want to show you where they are. Right? For caregivers in all situations, for caregivers of the elderly, for caregivers of the dying. Good prayers. I didn't write these. These are given to us. After today's service, I want you to take this page home with you and stick it in your Bible or in your notebook or in your diary. Put it on your nightstand or in your glove box in your car or wherever you pray. Take a picture of them if you'd like and store it on your phone. That's what I like. I love having that on my phone, right? It's always in my pocket. It's always with me. Save these prayers for future use. Now, certainly, I want you to pray these prayers in secret as Christ has taught us, for our Father hears us in secret. But I also want you to use them when you're caring for a caregiver. In the midst of your conversation, strive to say more than just, "I'll keep you in my prayers." Right? That's a fine statement, but you can do more. Right? You can do more than adding just a little praying hands emoji, right, at the end of a text message or a Facebook comment. Right? We can do more. In Christ, be encouraged to use these prayers right then and there in your conversation. In this way, you won't just be praying for the person, you'll be praying with them. That's the kind of care they rarely ever get. Your prayer, this prayer, will do wonders for them. For by it, by the words you say, and by the name in whose name you pray, God Himself will come to their aid. And behold, He will also come to the aid of those they care for. As you pray that God would be with them, to take care of them, they're going to bring that God with them into the patient's room. From faith to faith, the small mustard seed planted through prayer will grow to become the tallest in the garden, and it shall yield abundant fruit. O Father, grant this unto us all. In the name of your crucified and risen Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. And I just want to add another thing. If you're looking for a prayer for a different occasion, you can feel free to shoot me a text or an email. I'd be happy to supply you with a prayer for whatever needs you may have. There's also the prayers in the prayer section of your hymnal around page 300. You check those out. They're very good. Familiarize yourself with those prayers. They're tools for you and for those that you serve. Next week, we'll spend a little bit more time on caregivers, and especially on that part of caregiving that we so often forget to remember, and we're often told to feel guilty about, which is taking care of yourself. Very important. And it's not selfish. We take care of ourselves as caregivers so that we can care at the best of our ability for those we are called to serve. We'll spend a little bit more time on that next week. And now for the announcements. There's a voters meeting today after the service. Dartball team will be going down to Audubon tomorrow to face my father. Right? The caravan will be leaving here at 6:10. The LYC is hosting a Spuds and Splits after church on the 6th, and shortly thereafter, you're all invited to the Storm Lake Surrogate Bible Institute. We get together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and come together to study God's Word. And the rest of the announcements I commend to your reading. Included in our prayers today is the family and friends of Gary Stilley, David DeForest, and Dean Leeds. So we go to the prayers of the church. We stand to sing the offertory.
Take not thy hope. the joy of thy salvation, and love me with thy free spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, for our pastors and missionaries, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to true faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the family, especially all Christian homes, for husbands and wives, that God would turn them toward one another in love. For fathers and mothers, that God would equip them for their holy duties, duty as teachers of the faith. And for all children, that God would preserve them in the saving faith and certain promises of their baptism unto life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the blessed gift of new life in the birth of Franklin James Hinkledye, and for his father and mother, Alan and Anjali, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all babies still in the womb, and for their mothers, especially Hannah, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation and its turmoil and its leaders, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather, for the fruitfulness of the earth, and for all industry and commerce, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all their caregivers, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who are sick, infirm, or homebound, especially those in our congregation, Jeannie, Carrie, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, for Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, that Christ would be a servant to them in their hour of need and bring them out of their afflictions. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for those who mourn the death of their loved ones, especially the bereaved of Gary Stilley, David DeForest, and Dean Leitz, that Christ would comfort them and give them strength in their sorrow, give them confidence in the resurrection and hope in the joyful reunion of all your saints, living and departed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
By our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Lord Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us.
Thank you. for a Lord's Day. Take eat the body of Christ given for you. Take eat the body of Christ given for you.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Stand for the New Dominus.
Lord, how hast thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever.
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sicknesses, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and true health. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen,
suffer death, all in trust.